It's good to see you all here this afternoon. And I want to express my thanks for the elders and for all of you here for allowing me to take this opportunity and give a portion of the Word of God to you all as we are here and as our purpose is here today. And our foremost and first of all purpose is to worship the Lord as we are all here and all are loving to do so out of love for God. I invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. We'll be starting here to start off our period. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version throughout the course of my lesson, unless I state otherwise. So unless a word is changed here or there. But we begin by it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." That word assurance, and I thank Dylan for leading the songs that he did, but that word assurance is one of those great Bible words. Those great Bible words that we have and that we know. But do you fully understand the word? Do you fully understand, especially when we are singing, blessed assurance? Do we really know what that word assurance means? Well, the word is defined as the act of assuring or a statement or indication that inspires confidence, a guarantee or pledge, and also freedom from doubt. And in Hebrews 10:22, as we just read through inspiration, as it says, assurance or a full assurance, an entire confidence, and literally a full carrying, a full carrying. If we read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we read where it says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge." So we see there that full assurance in which he is talking about. Also, if you'd like to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Where we read where it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." In much assurance. One more verse in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. We read it being said through inspiration where it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We see that the full assurance is what is being promoted here and what is being promised here. The full assurance of hope. And we see a form of this word in other places. In Luke 1 and verse 1, in the King James it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Surely believed. And if we look at the New King James, it says, "been fulfilled among us." A form of the word here. Also we read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. Romans 4 and verse 21 where it says, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Being fully convinced, as we saw in that definition, that goes along with assurance. Assurance. Also going over to Romans 14 and verse 5. Romans 14 and verse 5, we read where it says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Fully convinced, a full assurance. So we see the form of this here in these different verses as well. But we talk about blessed assurance. And we talk about a full assurance. But then what about a false assurance? A false assurance. Do we hear about that a lot? No, not really. We mostly talk about blessed assurance. But there is false assurance. And we need assurance. We need assurance because we live in a time of uncertainty. We may lose our homes. We may lose our jobs. We may lose our money. We may have fear and doubt placed upon these false assurances if we put our assurance in them. So we need assurance. And our assurance is in Jesus Christ. This is where we place our assurance, and we know it is not a false one. Unlike our houses and our money and our food and our clothing. Those are assurances that can fail, but our assurance is in Jesus Christ. And just as we sang that song, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That is the blessed assurance we have. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, John 16 and verse 33, we read where it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But be of good cheer, a blessed assurance, a wonderful assurance that Jesus has overcome the world and that there is peace found in him. Also, we read in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We read where it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus is our assurance. He has defeated death. We no longer have a fear of death, of dying, if we are in Christ Jesus. Because we have that blessed assurance. And this calls for a full assurance of faith. A full assurance of faith. And when I say full, I mean a complete assurance. Not one that we put 75% of our assurance in and say, well, I got a backup in case that fails. We do that in the physical world. We do that when we put money into stock, but we also put money into banks because one may fail. And that's not a complete assurance, but we need a full assurance of faith. One that we do not put only part of it, but all of our assurance in. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we know this verse very well, I think so at least. But Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We gain this full assurance through faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And our full assurance is based off our full faithfulness to God. Yet again, not a partial faithfulness to God. Not when it serves me right. Not when it makes me feel good to do these certain things. No, a full faithfulness to God. Complete, total faithfulness to God. Also, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. We read of this full faithfulness where it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But to have this full assurance, there are some things that we must know. And 1 John has been called a book of assurance. 1 John has been known as a book of assurance. And John repeatedly reminds Christians of what they should know. So then we ask, how can we know these things? How can we know the things to have a full assurance of faith? A full faithfulness to God? Well, we know some of these things through our senses. through the senses that we have. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we didn't have ears to hear, how could we hear the word of the Lord? If we didn't have eyes to see, how could we read? Well, blind people can use Braille. But if we didn't have fingers, how could the blind people read Braille? Correct? So we have our senses to learn the word of the Lord. There is always a sense that we can use to study and learn the word of the Lord. But we also know some things through faith. Faith is also necessary. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3, where it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Can you show me exactly how the world was made with pictures or video or recording or written text? I can tell you through faith how the world was made because God put in His inspired text. But we cannot personally see the world being made. So we have some things through faith that we base our full assurance of as well. So what do we know from the Bible? What do we know from the Bible? Well, we know that the Christian knows God. That the Christian knows God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3, where it says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So the Christian who keeps the Lord's commandments will know Him. And if we all believe that this is the inspired word of God, He says it is true that we will know Him if we follow His commandments. No way to dispute it there. But we also see in 1 John 1 and verse 5 that there is evidence that God created the universe. As we see, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. We see that the evidence of God being light, God created everything in good, as He said, I see everything to be perfect. As we see in Genesis, we see that. And we talked about that this morning, where you're not born evil. God did not create you evil. That wouldn't make any sense, as we talked about. But we know that the Christian knows God. But we also know that we can have fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with Him. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7, where it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But here in verse 7, let's listen. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in darkness, we are not with the Lord. It says so right there. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can have fellowship. We can have fellowship with Him and Christians as well, as we are part of the body of Christ. But the Christian also knows that he has a Father in heaven. That he has a Father in heaven. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it reads, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. We have a Father in heaven, and Jesus the righteous is our advocate to the Father. But we also know that the Christian is loved by God. The Christian is loved by God. In 1 John 4 and verse 9 it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. But we also know that the Christian hears God and the Christian talks to God. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Excuse me, I got that wrong on the slide. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, where it reads, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That's 1 John 5 and verse 14. You want to write that down. But knowing that we are able to communicate with the Lord, and if we have anything that we need to ask according to His will, He will hear us as Christians. All these things we have assurances of. Just as we said before, some of these assurances come through our senses, and some of these assurances come through faith. But we also have an assurance that God dwells in the Christian. As we read in 1 John 4 and verse 15, where it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." Very important that we know these things, that we have these assurances. But the Christian also knows God if he obeys God. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Now by this we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." The blessed assurance that we have comes through our obedience toward the Lord. And as we read just right here, and as we talked about this morning, we know what Revelation 21:8 says. And if we say that we know him and we do not follow his commandments, we are a liar. And we lie to ourselves if we say that as well. Going back to the lesson this morning. But our blessed assurance comes through obedience, knowing that we know God if we follow his commandments. But the Christian also knows that he is in the Lord. He or she is in the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, where it says, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." That we are in him. And we must be in Christ. Because, and the reason why we must be in Christ, is because that is the only way that we can find salvation. It is the only way. There's no five roads lead to heaven. No, one road leads to heaven, and that is through Jesus the Christ. And we read in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, where it says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may, or they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, did he say you can find salvation through Muhammad the prophet? I don't think so. Did he say you can find salvation through Pope Benedict the 34th or however many they have now? No. Find salvation through Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is the only way to find salvation, and that is part of our blessed assurance. And we also know that we are a new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we see this where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We are a new creation in Christ Jesus when we are in the Lord. When we are in Christ, we have become a new creation. But we also know that when we are in the Lord, we are redeemed from our sin that is in Christ. In Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14, we read where it says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When we are in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins, and we have the ability to repent of our sins when we commit them. And knowing that the Lord is faithful to forgive. We talked about this earlier. I can't remember who I talked with. But that the Lord is faithful to forgive and wipes away them. Does not remember them. Not like us humans where we remember things. Even the bad things that people do. No, the Lord forgets them. You are forgiven. Not, yeah, right, okay. I'll forgive you. And then 20 years later, hey, do you remember what you did? Do you remember when you put that pencil over there and I sat on it and it hurt? No. The Lord does not remember things that He has forgiven. And that is such a wonderful, blessed assurance that we can have as well. But we also know that we are children of God in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, where it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That right there is a blessed assurance to me, knowing that we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But we also see that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing comes through Christ. As being Christians, as being part of the body, we have every spiritual blessing through Christ. And we know that we must be baptized to be in Christ. There's no sprinkling or praying into Christ or praying for the dead. There's none of that. We must be baptized to be in Christ. As we read in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, where it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We must be in Christ to have this blessed assurance that we talk about. And there is no other way to have this blessed assurance without being in Christ. But the Christian also knows that he has an eternal life. An eternal life, unlike an eternal death that so many await. But the Christian knows that he has eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we read here where it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." That is an assurance that we are given as Christians, that we know that we can have an eternal life when this life is over. And it gives us confidence. Confidence is another thing it gives us, knowing that whatever hardships that we endure in this life, whatever tribulation may befall us, whatever trials we may go through, whatever pain and agony is caused on this earth, we have an eternal life that awaits us if we follow His commandments, if we are in Christ Jesus, if we are in the body, we have this hope of eternal life. Without Christ, there is no hope of eternal life. But we also see that God has stated the brevity of life. In James chapter 4 and verse 13 to 14, and also Psalms 90 verses 10 through 2, God has stated the brevity of life. It's like a vapor that vanishes, gets blown away. Life is short. Life is very short. And I know as a young person, I always think, oh, I got plenty of time. I got tons of time because I'm young, right? And then I think about a friend who I had that died at the age of 19. And I think of other friends that I've known of that have died suddenly in car accidents and have been murdered. and have just died suddenly due to some mysterious health disease or whatever that they didn't know that they had until it was too late. We know that life is short, but as a Christian, this life is not what it's all about. This life is not where we put our assurance. As we talked about, our full assurance is in Christ and not in a false assurance that people of the world have, knowing in their mind that this life is all that they have, so live it up while they're here. Because they don't have anything else, right? When they die, it's just going to go black. No, we know what is to come. And so we have a blessed assurance through Jesus. And God has promised eternal life in 1 John 2 and verse 25. 1 John 2 and verse 25 where it says, "And this is the promise..." Or this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. God has promised us eternal life if we are in Jesus. And we know the Lord is not a liar. If the Lord is a liar, we may not even be reading the Bible. But we know, and we have that full assurance of faith, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He fulfills his promises. And he has promised us eternal life, if we are faithful until death. And God has assured the faithfulness, or the faithful Christian, eternal life. In Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, I ask you a question. Can an heir lose his inheritance? Can he? If you say no, you need to go back and study history. But an heir can lose his inheritance. And in the world, if the heir is not right to his family or to his father or to the people in which he is an heir over, he may lose his inheritance. He may lose what has been promised to him earlier. Same as a Christian, we can lose that inheritance if we are unfaithful to the Lord. If we go against the commandments which the Lord has given to us, we can lose that inheritance. But as Christians, we can be hopeful of that inheritance. We can be hopeful and knowing that this is the blessed assurance. This is the full assurance in which we have, knowing that this life is not all there is, and that through being faithful to Jesus, we may have eternal life. And some, unfortunately, still live under a false assurance. They still live according to worldly desires and worldly things. And even some, unfortunately, as I've heard, some have just enough religion to make them miserable. Some put a little bit of assurance here and a little bit of assurance here because they don't know which one they really want to follow. Or they don't want to hurt someone, or they don't want to hurt something else, so they hold on to both. They take a little from here to make these people happy, and they take a little from here to make these people happy. But you know what the end goal of that person is? Torment. You know, they have the saying, there's one side of the fence and the other side of the fence, and the devil owns the fence. The devil built that fence. He owns it. And if you sit on it, it's going to fall into his field when everything is done and over with. We must be on that right side of the fence. And in this world, we have fear and we have doubt. We have uncertainty. But God's people don't have these things. God's people, Christians, don't have these things. And if they do, They need to reorganize their priorities. As we spoke about this morning, and also I like to always make an analogy. If we were all sitting here with a pen and paper in front of us, and no one else could see you, no one else could see what you write, and you have a list, you know, order of importance, right? If I were to ask you to write down your priorities, what would your priorities be? And I'll give you the right answer right now. If God is not number one on that priority list, you're not in the right in God's eyes. You're not right in God's eyes. If anything else is put in front of God, in place of that first place where God should be, you are not right in God's eyes. And we need to seriously consider our priorities. In your life, if family comes before God, you really need to rethink your priorities. If fun and entertainment comes before God, you really need to rethink your priorities. I could keep going on. If we put anything in front of God, we are not right in His sight, and therefore cannot honestly and faithfully ascribe to this full assurance of faith, this blessed assurance of faith. We need to think seriously on our list of priorities. But we can have this blessed assurance when we know God. And how do we know God? By keeping His commandments. And we can have this blessed assurance when we know that we are in the Lord. When we know that we are part of the body. A part of the body of the Lord. That is what we do when we come together as a part of the body of the Lord to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we know that we can have this blessed assurance when we are part of that body, when we are in Christ Jesus. And we also know that we can have this blessed assurance when we know confidently that we can lay hold of eternal life. Especially in our present condition, if you die right now, where will you go? And you can answer that. And really, only you and God can answer that. Only you and God can answer that because you know your heart. God knows your heart. None of us do. None of us on this entire face of the planet knows what our hearts think exactly. We can go about life being one way and actually thinking the other way. That's what actors do, right? Actors portray something that they are not. That's where we get the word hypocrite, from the Greek. Actors portray something that they are not. And only you and God can know where your end will be. So if you are not confident in any of these things, if you are not confident that you do not know God, or maybe that you are not confident that you're not in the Lord, or maybe you're not confident that you can lay hold on eternal life, you need to rethink your priorities. You need to study and to be attentive of what the Word says. But if you have all these things, you can have and be confident in having the blessed assurance which comes through the words of inspired text that God Himself has given to us. Speaking as the oracles of God, God breathed, literally. These words are inspired and are wonderful and are blessed in God's eyes. And if we follow them, we can know all of these things. If we follow His commandments, all of these things, we can confidently say, yes, as we all should be. As we all should be confidently saying, yes, I know God. I know that I am part of the body. I know that when this life is over, I can lay hold of eternal life because I have remained faithful until death. And as we said before, our time is not certain. I may walk out of this door and there may be a gas explosion and I die. It's possible. I never said it was likely, but it's possible. Or I may live another 80 years till I'm 100. Or 101. I may live a full, healthy life and die at the end of this age when I'm dead. I don't know. I don't know. And I can't say certain for anyone here either. That is why we must all be ready to answer when this life is over, when our lives are over. We must all be ready to give a full account and to answer and to give yeses to every single one of these questions. I know God. I know that I am part of the body, and I know that I may lay hold of eternal life. We all should think on these things. All should be very critical when it comes to these things, because these things are what will determine our destination. I thank you for all your careful consideration, all your careful listening. I haven't had any tomatoes thrown, so that's a good thing. But I also appreciate this opportunity that you have allowed me, that I have been able to speak in front of you. And I also always ask that if you hear anything that I have said that may not be in accordance with God's word, please let me know and we can study it together. Because I would like to go to heaven just as I'd like you to go to heaven. I'd like us all to go to heaven, as all of our wishes should be. If you are not a child of God, if you are not a part of the body, if you do not know God, if you cannot say, I will go and have eternal life with the Father, if you cannot say that, and you are not a child of God, now is the opportunity. Now is the time to do so. Like we said, we don't know when our end will be. We don't know when our last breath will be taken. Now is the opportunity to confess and to repent and to be baptized, not sprinkled, fully immersed. And by the blood of Jesus, we can become a part of the body. And more importantly, to remain faithful until death. We can be faithful until 10 minutes before we pass and go and do something evil, and it will lose our eternal soul. We must remain faithful until our last breath. Or if you are a child of God and you have allowed sin to encroach upon your life and to enter your life, and that you need to repent from the things that are in your life that are controlling it and that are evil, we are here to pray with you and for you so that you may turn around a 180, not 181 and not 179, but a full turnaround back on the true and narrow path, the straight and narrow path in which we walk in. If you are subject to either of these, I pray that you do so as we stand and sing.